suggesting that we should do the same for them, because their high school, their little school, the old school building, has been around a while, so we do need to check that out to see if we're bringing on some things, some headaches we don't really want.
You want me to kick that off with the same people?
Yeah, Eric should talk to Connie and let her know that we're going to do that and get an engineer to come over. I think it'll be fine, just need to let them know. I just want to summarize the pros of why we should do this and the negatives of what we should be aware of. You probably all been thinking about it just as we've raised this subject. It is a very nice building and it's recently expanded, so we can get hopefully somewhere between 160 and 240 kids in that building eventually. That would give us 40 entries into from our fifth grade to our sixth grade. So we would only be bringing in 80 new people, 75 or 80 new people. And as we know, most of them will probably be siblings.
Yeah.
Because that's what happened last year without all these new grades. So if somebody over there, as soon as we combine,
that's a good point.
A first grader can get his older sibling into the school without going through the lottery. Assuming we go through what we think is going to happen, that's what we think the Department of Education will allow. It's a great location, being so close to our campus, that there's easy to get back and forth. They do have a good education reputation as a private school. Unfortunately, it's a private school. It costs too much money for most people to take advantage of that. So they send them here or wherever they can. The elementary schools in Sussex County are damn good elementary schools in the public system, whether it's Shields or Rehoboth or any of the rest of them. So I am convinced that, and the beauty is, I was worried about this, that we were going to be taking more kids from the Cape and Lopin High School District and Indian River High School District and Seaford High School District, which is where most of our kids come from those districts. And finally, these districts are going to wake up and said, okay, you're really pissing me off now.
Pissing them off now.
But what's happening around here that we all know is we just built Love Creek Elementary School. We just renovated and built a new Rehoboth Elementary School. Shields is being torn down. We're going to build a bigger Shield school back behind the old Lewis school.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like we're going to be stealing kids that they can handle. They're trying to keep up with their growth as it is. So I don't think that's going to be much of a problem.
But they'll complain about it anyway, trust me.
It's not a giant number, right?
Yeah.
Joe, I mean, we're not talking about 120 kids per class anyway.
We might, you know, if we have 40 kids, the max that we think we can shoot for, maybe 15 of them would come from the Cape District. And that's three elementary schools, so five from each school. It's not going to make a difference.
Yeah.
Okay.
We love their leader, as Eric said. That's another great thing. Any building that you build new, if we were doing this 5 years from now when we were ready for it to add a school, we would have all the problems of building. Things don't work out quite the way we had hoped they would. It takes longer than we thought it would, cost more than it was supposed to. All those things washed away, which is a very nice thing for us. I think we'll get the existing parents of their Jefferson School kids that come over, as well as we'll get the parents of all of us who have kids in the school. If our child starts in this new school from kindergarten, the new school being K through 12, and is here for all 12 years plus kindergarten, you're going to be a very loyal parent. And the ease of raising annual funds, capital campaigns, it's just like a private school up in Wilmington, you know, whether it's Tower Hill or Archmere. They have no, or Taunton, they have no trouble raising money from their parents, because the parents, and those are private schools. We're not a private school, but we look and act like a private school. So I think we'll have a much better group for us to go after in all of our fundraising efforts down the road. Um, the cons. We don't know whether they have 12 or 14 classrooms. What's the number that they have? We hope it's the 12. We need to do a charter modification. That's the biggest workload between now and December 31st on the school here. It's Eric and Alan and a bunch of others of you who were involved in that process of putting that together. It's about, when you finish it, it's about a 3-inch stack of papers. A lot of that work hopefully has been done in our most recent charter modification when we were granted the 10-year charter. So we're hopeful that a lot of that we can plagiarize from our past one. And they have gone through a recent evaluation by
Middle States
independent schools.
Credit.
And they have the same kind of recent information that we can then borrow from to put it together. So we don't think it's going to be as hard as it could be if we hadn't done that recently.
Do you think it, would you consider it to be like a major modification or?
It is a major modification.
Would it jeopardize the 10-year?
No, it will not.
A lot of what we are saying reflects on things we've learned from the Department of Education in some discussions we've had with them.
Okay.
So they think this is a great idea. They want to push us to do it. And I think they will bend over backwards to help us if we say we need this. I think they'll help us.
Awesome.
There is going to be a lot of lottery uncertainty if you think about it. We won't know until April of next year whether the charter has been approved to go down to kindergarten. But all the kids that want to come here in sixth grade, all of their kids, they sort of have to decide when they want to go to school in March. So our lottery goes forward, and there's a mismatch in this 1 year where it's going to be very challenging for some people to figure it all out, including me, because I can't even articulate it. I am happy to hear Eric say that this is going to be 1 + 1 = 3, not a real hardship, and drag him over there to deal with issues, trouble issues, whatever the issue might be. She's been running the school beautifully for, I think, 10 years. And she's still young at heart. She's Eric and really get along well. So I think one of my greatest concerns was we can't take Eric's focus off of what he's doing here. We still have middle school and high school that we want to get a little more blended together than they are right now. And it's a bigger school. It's 860 kids now, so it's a much bigger job. But I think those are the only problems that I see facing us. I originally thought the school districts would be a problem, and maybe union representation would be a problem. I don't think it's going to be a problem at all. So I'm dishing my cons and loving all my pros.
And there's 85 kids there now?
Yes.
And this would be 85 kids that would have to be absorbed by the various public school systems in the county if this thing just locked its doors May 31st.
Right.
So.
Or their donors could keep it alive for another year or two.
Okay. But at some point it looks like the train will end and the public school system's going to have to absorb these kids in some matter or form.
To come to us as they did and to be as cooperative as they have been with the information that we've gathered from them, they know this is the last train out. That if this doesn't go off, they probably will close down, because I don't think they want to support a school that's losing $300,000 or $400,000 a year again after having just paid for a $2 million expansion. It just doesn't make sense.
And Joe, this goes without saying, but I assume they're talking about it publicly like we are at this point.
What's that?
Yes.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So the parents know?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, the thought we had was that we will vote on as a board on in October.
Hopefully.
That's if we get that far, that was our plan.
If we're ready.
Yes, sir.
They will do the same. They will time their board meeting just before, just after ours. And we will then go out with a big to-do, you know, being the Cape Cassette and all that, to talk about what we're intending to do, provided understand that it's all conditioned on us getting the charter modification.
I would like to make a comment. Clearly, financially, business-wise, it seems like a very sound decision. Having heard some concerns, it's more from the softer side and the consideration of the families and the students, and that we're not talking about middle schoolers. These are elementary-aged kids, and certainly this is Lauren's field more than it is mine, but education, there's a big push about trauma-informed classrooms and resilient classrooms and the traumas that kids experience at these ages. A change of schools is extremely significant. So I think we can't solely discuss from the basis of a financial perspective. I know our hands are tied in some way, depending on how it all rolls out with the charter and with the lottery system, but there are, you know, families of these kids who have selected this school, have paid the money and invested for a reason. And yes, we know we have this fantastic product to offer, but to your point, Joe, yeah, in April, you're gonna have these kids who are K to 5 years of age who don't know where they're going. And I think they've only known one way for such a period of time. And I don't have the right answer. I'm just kind of throwing out that amidst all of this, and I'm on board, there's gotta be some way to keep that also at the forefront of our mind.
I think the one thing that you can lean back on is they're in the same very comfortable position in the classrooms over there. You know, it's still gonna be a small little school, even if we get to 40 in a class. But they might
not be guaranteed. So there might be a portion of them who are coming back to that school, correct? But there might be a portion who are...
Yes, so here's the situation. We have, the biggest area of unknown right now is this, the lottery, and how we have to deal with that. We're having conversations with the charter school office about how we should handle this. It's a very unique situation.
Yeah, I don't want us, as
what
good
we do
as it
know,
is, I don't want us coming in as like big bad wolf.
I understand.
You know
what we
I mean?
Do know
I'm not
is
at
that
all.
What we do know so far is that if we get approved on April 14th, on April 15th, we can start taking applications for K through fifth grade.
Sure.
And it's more than likely that their kids will be accepted. The problem
there won't be a lottery. We'll schedule a lottery, but if we're not
oversubscribed, we don't need a lottery. And everyone is saying that we are not going to be oversubscribed, and I believe that. At the charter, when we met with Leroy, he said it's harder to fill elementary school seats than it is middle school and high school. You'll see that your first year.
I don't agree with that. One thing that makes me feel that there will be hesitancy is if your child goes to Shields today, you live in Lewis, and the mom walks her down the street to Shields, or the husband does, and now you're going to put this second grader, on a bus at some bus stop at Wise Markets or someplace to go a half hour to get to this school. This isn't the Jefferson people. They're used to doing that,
right.
So that's not a problem for them. But it is going to be a problem, I think, for some people that say, I'm not going to give up my little two-year-old from a very comfortable situation at Shields or Rehoboth Elementary. That's what concerned me initially, but most people just say, oh, you're crazy, Joe.
So we know that the state will not agree to sort of grandfathering the existing students at
the
Jefferson
It's
school.
Not legal.
Okay.
They will not do it.
But I think in the first year, Chris, once we get the charter,
yes,
those are our grades now. A second grader over there, if he's in the second grade, is going to be in our third grade right up to 12th grade. He's already in. He gets stamped.
No, I know. I'm concerned. I don't know how it's going to play out either. I agree with you. I mean, that's why we didn't send Kendall, my youngest, to Worcester Prep, because we're like, the schools are plenty good a mile away, you know? So we might have done the same thing had Jefferson School existed as Sussex Academy. But if people, the past couple of years, there's been a lot of very disappointed people at the lottery. And it's like anything else that has, you know, a restricted amount of volume. Like, people want it more. You know, so if people see this as a way to get into Sussex mm-hmm. Academy, I mean, we really don't know what's going to happen. Like, let me ask you something. Do we have any legal obligation to advertise that enrollment is open for K through 5?
Yes.
On April 15th?
Well, I don't know on what day,
but do we have
a legal obligation? Yes, we do.
I mean, because maybe we can advertise at a minimum until we admit
the students
and then advertise like we would advertise, which is probably more than the legal minimum.
Well,
after we admit.
What we have assured them is that we will do everything we can to put their students in the best possible position to be able to be admitted here. So if that means that they all have their applications ready and we know we're going to get approved on April 14th, and so on April 15th at 8:30, they're lined up here with their applications in hand, or whatever it looks like. I don't know.
Yeah.
We have to get clarity around the lottery issues because, like I said, it's a very unique situation.
But Chris, rest assured
that we have been very clear, and I'm not ignoring the soft side. I get that,
yeah,
but we've been very clear with them that we cannot guarantee anything having to do with students and enrollment.
And I think we need to leave it there and move on.
They fully understand that.
Yeah,
I agree. We're going too deep in this right now
on
the record.
So why don't we just vote on it right now?
I'm ready.
Okay.
It's interesting that I think the three big variables are going to be, you know, what the enrollment is, right? And you literally can go back and forth forever and guess what that's going to be like. I guess you could do some market research.
Yeah, you're right, but you just don't know.
You just don't know, right? So that's a big variable. And until you get to full enrollment or some break-even point, you're going to have to carry that burden financially. And then, you know, I think we should look at the teaching structure and keep that as flexible as possible to accommodate, you know, any number of scenarios from an enrollment perspective.
What's your third?
How many teachers we?
The third one is busing.
Really?
Because we haven't, because busing's expensive, and when you do like a side by side comparison of their budget expenses versus ours, yes, there's a lot of overlap. And when I throw in the additional, say I take their current teachers and say they're all coming, and I put them on our salary scale and I put our OECs in, it's a lot of money. But when I divide that down, that's how Joe says someone else came up with the number 160-some, that's me. But that's a rough, you know, a rough estimate. The one piece that I don't have anywhere is busing, and I know that's very expensive. So I, you know, we need to start doing some, running some numbers with busing in there.
Yeah.
We're gonna have to make some assumptions. Anyway, we're getting too deep, but busing, for me, the third variable there is busing.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, new business. The first.
No, we're done. That was new business.
Nope.
No.
No, that was
old.
Sold.
Sorry.
All right, we have to do the oath of office for the new board members.
Thank you. Jen, do you make them stand up and raise their hand?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, they do.
Okay. Would new board members please rise?
Swear your firstborn.
And say all together. All together. I state your name.
Say your
name. Together. I,
Chris Shelf. Do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States of America.
And the Constitution of the State of Delaware, and that I will faithfully discharge the duties of the office of school board member according to the best of my ability, And I do solemnly swear.
Further solemnly swear that I will not directly or indirectly pay, offer or promise to pay, contribute or offer or promise to contribute any money or other valuable thing as consideration or reward for the giving or withholding a vote on any issue.
Thank you.
There you go. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Have another one.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next thing we need to do are our yearly conflict of interest statements.
Just pass them. We'll pass them around.
Maybe we can touch base with them afterwards. Background checks.
Do we have to do this right now? Yeah, let's not do this right now.
Just bring them.
Yeah.
Yeah, bring them next.
Bring it back to the next meeting.
Okay.
Is this once a year because we could please?
Yeah, it's every year.
Yeah, once a year.
Do we have them?
I don't think it made it all the way around.
You filled this out as a board application, right?
We have to read it and then we'll deal with it.
I think I did, yeah.
Who's in charge of the policy?
The 519 policy?
No.
Or one short, but I don't know if I need to do it.
Eric, all right, we have to come back to this because this might have to be approved tonight. This is for the Bo Biden Foundation. We got some.
I read it.
I think I read it too, but I think this is a boy. It might be a. The language might be what they gave
right.
us. But let's put this off until Eric comes back and we can figure that out.
Okay.
School choice open house. Okay. So the school choice open house is on. Does everyone know what that is? That's like the open house where.
It's new this year. It's on
a
Saturday.
It's on Saturday.
It's on Saturday, October 19th, between 9 and 12. And Gina would like some board members to be there. So anyone who can be there can please let her know that you will be there.
October 19th?
Yes, from 9 to 12.
Wedding anniversary, I'm exempt.
Saturday.
Mine's on
Monday. Now we need to go into
executive session. Yes, we do. All right. We have business to discuss in executive session.
All right. At this point, under $29 code, section 10,004. B19. We are going to go into B9, rather. We're going to go into executive session, and we're going to discuss based on personnel matters. And that would be.
Oh, that's a motion.
And can I have a motion on that?
I make a motion that we go into executive to discuss personnel matters at 6:03.
5 seconds.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
So, did you press the button?
Yes.
Okay. So we are at.
The last issue, I know, Jen, it's been all night.
I'm so sorry.
The last issue was, did everyone review the policy on the child protection policy?
519.
This is tied to the Bo Biden Foundation and a grant that we got.
Marty, I think. You have to announce you're out of executive session.
Oh, I'm sorry. We came out of executive session at 7 o'clock. And the last action item is the child protection policy, which would be 519 in the board policies. This tracks some of the mandatory reporting requirements for state employees, but also has within it conduct of
officials, and I'll, do you want to run with this protection policy?
That would be wonderful.
Go. I started.
You got some kids out there about to fall out. Bless their heart.
Yes. I've been working with the Beau Biden Foundation for about a year now with this Shield of Protection initiative that they were trying nationwide. One thing that we had to do was let them look at all of our policies, and one thing that we were missing that we had to adopt is a child protection policy, which basically takes a lot of things that we already do, background checks, training, you know, things like that, mandatory reporting, obviously, and puts it all in one policy. The only things that are really additions are a social media policy, which if you had a chance to look, that's on the last page, which just talks about no one-on-one communication with kids, things like that. The observable and interruptible supervision under the code of conduct, meaning that it's good policy for teachers and coaches and volunteers not to ever be one-on-one with a student with the door closed, which obviously is good practice. We just never had it in writing. Mm-hmm. So it's really a lot of things we already had in place, but it puts it under one policy. And once we get this in place, we will be the first Shield of Protection school in Sussex County for the Beau Biden Foundation. So it's a great thing being able to say that we accomplished.
Yep.
So.
The only question I had is, you know, volunteers, getting background checks on volunteers, that seems like a fairly significant undertaking.
Yeah, and it's only a volunteer who spends significant amount of time with the students. So, okay. For example, we have a volunteer from UD who's doing a health program, the Bobbin Life Skills Program. She got a background check because she works with the kids every week. So that would be we would select the ones that we believe need to have the background check.
So it wouldn't
check.
Be a parent going on a school bus to a field trip to DC or something?
No, it would be someone who spends significant time with the kids on a regular basis, but doesn't get paid for it. They're a volunteer in the system.
Okay.
So. The one thing that I think all the teachers and everybody should know about, because it's not just about one-on-one communication. If you read under relationships, it says staff and volunteers must not share their personal contact information with children or follow or friend them on any social media platform.
Yes.
I guarantee you that's not in compliance today.
Right. It probably is not. And if we do that, the teachers and staff, they will have to sign
off on
this.
They're going
to
have to go through and defriend.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, and some of it gets weird
unfriend
with these apps.
Whatever.
The apps for the sports teams where I know there's a lot of people in these forums, but there's direct communication going on between teacher coaches or just outside.
That's a really general rule that especially that rule was probably written before Instagram and Facebook became as big as it is, but I could see that rule being in constant violation.
This is designed to protect not only the kids, but the adults in the situation as well.
Right.
If teachers can kind of, and coaches look at it that way, this protects both ways.
Oh yeah, I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad rule. I'm just saying it's one that is
I think you're easy
to be out of compliance with.
So can I presume that there's some level within the Beau Biden Foundation, like an educational marketing, once organizations do put this type of policy into play, some sort of campaign that speaks
Once we become a Shield of Protection initiative and we become a partner with them, they will provide us with free training, marketing.
There you go.
It's
a very thorough.
Yeah.
They do it. They're fantastic.
Very well done, and nobody leaves wondering what they're supposed to do.
Right. So that will help for that transition.
Is the language that's included in here, is this just a cut and paste from a recommendation?
Some of it is and some of it, there are several pieces that I asked them to take out. There was a funding piece that I told them we could not guarantee funding in one of our policies. There was another piece about background checks every 2 years, and I told them we can't pay for background checks every 2 years. So that's why they added the interim arrest reporting, that if you're a staff member, it's your obligation to let us know if you get, violate and get arrested for anything, obviously.
Correct.
But that was put in here. But most of the language is a generic form that they're using nationwide. And I did not write this. Claudine Malone from Beau Biden Foundation wrote this, and we went through it together and decided
what we
could do and what we couldn't do.
Okay.
I have a quick question. So we were just having a quick dialogue down here. So like I'm thinking of the coaches, obviously, so I always think of Emily in volleyball. And
yeah.
I know the coaches text the group of girls, and they're always going back and forth.
Yeah.
So this says...
If it's a group, it's okay.
It's not
if
one-on-one.
If as long as it's not... So the coaches are not able to text...
One-on-one.
They
one-on-one,
should never
but
have
they can text the group.
No, but the first part...
We can change the language.
That's what
the
chapter,
you guys
right.
think
like,
the language
so,
should
the
be
second
changed.
Part is actually good language, and I think is easy to comply with, which is you should not have one-on-one communication. But it says you cannot share your personal contact.
That's what
right,
it says.
Right.
So
that's why I said that.
If any coach gives their cell phone number out,
right.
that's
there's a violation.
Right. That's personal contact
yeah.
information.
And
or
I can change that
teacher gives their cell phone number to a kid on a field trip.
And says, call me if you get lost
right.
at the Smithsonian.
Right. Right.
That's a violation.
Yeah.
I actually think the language that says you can't have one-on-one communication over social media platforms is appropriate and
yeah.
easy
yes.
to follow.
Absolutely.
But this one sentence where it starts with staff and volunteers must not share, that entire sentence is hard to comply with.
Yeah.
Or it could be
under relationships.
It
it's on the second page.
That texting could be like things like a coach texting could be allowable, but it there has to be some stipulation that it's
relevant to school
to the topic. At
right.
You can't be like, did you see this movie? It can't get into that realm of that gray area.
Yeah.
If it's about everybody needs to be out here at 6 o'clock,
yes,
call your parents
yeah.
or stuff that's in traffic and not family.
Yeah.
And I think there is language in here because I was looking through this for these very reasons that you're bringing up. But there can be language in here that says any one-on-one communication must be something like academic in nature or related. Yeah, there's something in here. Yes.
And we can take that line out. Staff and volunteers must not share their personal content and replace it with any one-on-one contact.
That's
must,
better.
That's much better.
Because sometimes there is one-on-one contact, especially
yeah.
right.
between coaches and
right.
somebody
right.
saying, look, I'm not going to be at
right.
the game
right.
tonight. It's like, well, I got to email you. I got to text you back.
Yeah, they want you to do that.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
That's part of being responsible.
So
they want you to communicate like that.
Okay, so is it can we approve it with a
amendment? The other thing it says too is that you have to copy somebody else. It says other forms of communication interaction such as social media, inline chats, over on telephone or through text message conversations are only permissible if another adult is copied or included on the message conversation.
There you go, include their parent.
Mm-hmm.
That's
so,
an easy fix.
Yeah, but that's
well,
not, we just talked about
that
how that doesn't happen, especially
right.
in sports.
Oh, it does.
No, I'm just saying that's in
that's
this
why,
as well.
But I think what we just talked, the sentence that we just discussed
we'll
replaces
clarify,
that.
Yeah.
Which basically says you can talk as long as it's completely,
yeah.
it's only school related.
School related. If that's the case, then you need to yeah. revise this then too. Right.
Or it contains content that is entirely school related or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
It's less it's going to be in conflict with it.
You really wanted to nail this, didn't you?
I did, because I've been working on it for a long time.
Yeah.
Don't want to get
but
it.
I think those two changes, I think, get us
there. Yeah. Could we agree to that?
Leave
yes,
that one
absolutely.
Sentence
okay.
from replacing
yes.
the first sentence with.
Yes.
Right. So someone needs to summarize that, and then we can make a motion.
I think she's doing it right now.
Okay.
We have to include it in the motion.
And we'll get the finalized.
Yeah, next
yeah.
next month. Okay, you want me to make a motion?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, I make a motion that we approve policy 519, child protection policy, with the modifications pertinent to one-on-one communication between students and staff or faculty being relevant only to scholastic activities.
Which includes
athletics and extracurricular activities. Yeah,
correct.
Did you get it?
Yeah. That's easy to do.
And
okay.
then we need to delete or replace that first sentence with that.
Yes.
And then
yes.
we need to delete that sentence that Lance.
And yeah, I'll cross that out. I can take that out completely.
Yeah. And
then, okay,
and
so
then we're totally good, I think.
With those provisions.
With those provisions. The motion is on the table.
I'll second the motion.
40 seconds. Any further discussion on...
Man,
so
you're having a hard time.
Any further discussion on the motion?
No.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
It's easy to do, though. You used to
I'd
be
like to
effort.
Make a motion
to
adjourn
like
the board meeting at 7:12.
She's
I'll
like,
second.
Party?
She's like, get out of, she's like, get out of my way.
Steve.
Yes.
Stop.
By the way, I need